Lord, I think I'm going to stay right there. Will you get mad when you see your adversary blessed and you still struggling? Will you be upset? And God is testing, trying you to see how you're going to act when he don't do your self-service. You see, God may be using you to get your adversary straight, because now your adversary looks at you and say, all I've done to her, all I've done to him, and they still serving God. All that I said about them, and they still smile, speak, love me. Oh, come on and say amen. God may be using you to pray. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. God may be using you for something to get them to see how good he is. Then they turn from their wicked ways. Oh, come on and say amen. But see, they may get ahead of you, but you can't worry about that, because you got to be in the will. Amen. Do you have any friends like that? Amen. They just want some relief. Or maybe you like that. Just want some relief. You know, some people, they don't care what God's call is on your life. They don't care what God's will is for your life. They just want you to do what they want you to do right then. Do you have anybody that you know in your life that don't care what your call is, don't care what you're doing? See, Jesus' call was to die, but he was calling Jesus, saying, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, come down, save us, and save yourself. Jesus said, my call is to die on this cross, not to get down to serve you for one time. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to understand there is a will of God, and sometimes it's causing us to go to the cross. Oh, come on and say amen. Sometimes your the will of God is for you to be crucified. Come on, not to be glorified right there, but now is my time of crucifixion. Amen. And so we got to understand something. We can't go serve other people until we learn how to serve God. We got to get this in our head. I don't care what and how good they've been to you and how they blood kin to you. You got to do God's will first. And when you've done God's will, God will take care of them. I wish I had somebody. You got to say to yourself, I'm not God. I'm a servant of God. I wish I had somebody. I'm a son of God. I belong to God. And since I'm not God, if I'm not there, it's still going to be all right. I'm not going to go and serve you and God telling me to serve him. Oh, he just wanted Jesus to come down. He didn't care about humanity. He didn't care about what God's will was. He just wanted some relief. That'll preach anywhere but here, I guess, this morning. He just wanted some relief. That's all he wanted. He didn't care about what others was going through. He didn't care about me or you, that we was going to need a savior, that we were going to need some salvation. He didn't care about that. He just wanted to feel some relief. Many of us, we are the same way. We just want a relief. Amen? I just need a break. While I'm going through all of this, I just need God to hold back the devil hand for a minute to give me some breathing room. I wish I had somebody. Oh, but we don't know why we are where we are. Amen? We don't know why we are where we are. And we got to look at this now. There was people walking by. And when they walked by, the Bible said that they wagged their head. They said, oh, he saved himself. I mean, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Amen? And when they walk by, you know how it is when somebody's done something and you heard about it or you seen them in the paper, on the news, and we, in this society, you're guilty before you're proven innocent, even though they say innocent until proven guilty. We know the real deal. Come on and say amen. Jesus was innocent. They walk by and say, uh-huh, I know he wasn't right. You know how it is. They, uh-huh, look at him. I know he wasn't all that he said he was. You know how people say you ain't saved like you say you saved. Stuff like that. You ain't all that. I thought you was a Christian. You a so-called Christian. You know, I've heard that. I thought you supposed to be a preacher, a man of God, because they want you to break the rules for them. I wish I had somebody. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And so they look at you in your current condition, in your crucified state, because he was numbered with the transgressors. They looked at him and judged him and said that he wasn't right. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. He said, look, we got to understand, we can't allow people to judge our current situation because I'm in my call and purpose. Because I'm going through right now, it doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. And because I'm dealing with something right now does not mean that God doesn't love me. Or because I'm going through some things right now because of where I am, don't judge me. Amen. But you need to know that what I'm doing, I'm in the will of God. And so while I'm on my cross, don't look down on me. Don't look at me and say, that's what you get. While I'm suffering, don't look at me and say, yeah, I knew you wasn't going to make it. You don't know what's going to happen after the cross. You don't know what's going to happen after I get down from here. So
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Let's give God a real hand of praise for the first Lord's Supper experience. Would you stand to your feet with the word of the Lord opened? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this time of hearing from you. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts, minister to us there, then reveal the principles for us to practice so that we might profit from them and give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles for this brief moment to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Recorded are these words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, seeking after God. Right. Seeking after God. Isaiah pens this word, and he, of course, has divine revelation on what God is sharing with the people of God. One of the things that I think is most necessary to understand about this verse and about this word is that God is speaking to his own people. One would think from the onset that God was talking to those who did not belong to him, to the sinners who had no relationship with him. But rather, he was talking about sinful Israel. He was talking about his people who had lost their fellowship with him. His people who were called by his name, but did not bear the characteristics of his children. And so it was an appeal by God through Isaiah to get them to understand that there are a lot of blessings they're leaving on the table. If you go to verse 1 and walk all the way up through verse 5, you will discover this. Because our time is far spent in this hour, all I want to do is highlight some of the points about seeking after God. First of all, when it says, "Seek ye the Lord," it's talking about a passionate pursuit. Because it is necessary to understand that when you passionately pursue God, you then put into place everything necessary to receive God. You see, God has been reaching out to man, but the problem is man has not recognized it. Man has ignored the attempts of God. Man has not recognized that God was giving him another opportunity. And day after day, time after time, situation after situation, God shows us where he could have ended our lives. He could have allowed our bad choices to be the end and the undoing of us. But he gave us another chance. And yet, even in that, we forget that God was trying to get our attention so that we might passionately pursue him. Amen. Now, when it says, "Seek ye the Lord," there is a consideration here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, when you are unctioned by the Lord, when God calls you, he is calling you, and in that calling, there is what's called a response time. A response time, or a window of time. And you are required to respond within a reasonable time. And it is for that time that God calls you that he is drawing you. He's unctioning you. He's urging you. He's trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to get your attention. How does he do that? One, he puts a longing on the inside of you, a vacuum on the inside of you. There's something wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You know you need to be closer to God. You want to be closer to God. It's a thing where God puts an itch in you you can't scratch. He deals with you where you have to keep coming back to him to get what he wants from you. And so it's an understanding that it is in that time as you passionately pursue him that you recognize that you have a proper period to respond. And see, here's what happens. When you don't respond while he is near, while you have opportunity, while he may be found, then the truth of the matter is he then causes you, when you have deaf ears or when you have a desire to do other things than to turn to him, he then allows you to have a hard heart or hardened heart. And so when he allows your heart to harden, then that means at the same time he's closing the window. He's shutting the door. He's saying to you, you have had opportunity after opportunity, opportunity, and you obviously don't want to meet me on my terms, so I'm going to leave you alone. And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when God leaves you alone, you might want to do what you want to do. You might want to do your own thing. You might want to do what pleases you. But when God leaves you alone, I want to tell you, there's no trouble like the trouble of being left alone by God. Because there is an emptiness there that no drugs can fill. No other person can fill. No job, no children, no spouse, no pain, no pleasure, no anything can feel but God. And when God closes the window, the door of opportunity on you, then the realities of an eternal hell become a daily reality. Everything that you face at that point, you face without the power and the protection and the presence of a loving God.
Yeah. All right.
And you're on your own. And you find out that you've been bamboozled by the devil. Yeah. You find out all of the stuff that he presented to you were lies and they were not true. And all that you thought you would be able to bank on, you couldn't bank on, because when God shut the door on you, you didn't realize that it was through his grace that he kept you when you turned your back on him. That it was through his grace that he kept you when you went in the opposite direction. That it was his grace when the devil wanted to do you in, God said, not now. It was his grace. But then when he releases you to a reprobate mind, he tells the devil, have your way with him. And my brothers and sisters, you'll wish for death then without the presence of God. But then the rest of that verse says, call ye upon him when? Listen. Call ye upon him while he is near. You call on him. Listen, the first time when this word is presented, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, when you seek him passionately, you're seeking him as our great God, as Jehovah God, as the Lord. And in seeking him, your desire is to find him and worship him. As the creature worships the creator, you recognize him for who he is. But in the second part, what God says is, call ye upon him while he is near. Now, here again, the responsibility is upon those who have turned their backs on God, on those who have missed God, on those who have sinned against God, on those who were called by his name but didn't act like his children. He's talking to us who have missed him, just as historically he was talking about Israel. And so he says, call ye upon him. So now, this literally means fellowship with God. The first part had to do with recognizing him for who he was or is, and then worshiping him in that same vein. Now, when you call upon him, you're calling upon him as your Father, your Heavenly Father. You have a relationship with him. You now have the opportunity of speaking with him one-on-one and with heart issues. You can tell him the intimacies of your issues and your troubles and your trials, your situations and your thoughts. And all of these things have to do with fellowship, the sweet fellowship
that you have only after you know him as your Lord and your God. Then as the relationship matures, you recognize him as your loving Heavenly Father. And now you're privileged to call upon him while he is near. Near. Listen, to give vent to understanding this is simply to be able to say that when you then have the responsibility and the right to call upon God, it is because you now have relationship that warrants your ability to talk to him for yourself. You see, it's one thing to come to me to tell him. But it's a whole nother thing when you got the privilege of telling him for yourself. Yeah, you can skip the line and say, I'll dial him up direct. I have his direct number that reaches him. I don't have to go through the switchboard. I don't have to go through other folk. I can call him up and tell him what I want while he is near. Now remember again, this has to do with fellowship. So fellowship means you've got to be near him. You've got to be close to him. It gives the idea of intimacy with God, because there are just some things, listen at this, if you're talking about two people who are married or close or intimate in different kind of intimate settings, there are things that they will whisper to one another that they won't shout out in a room. I guess you ain't nobody married on me. Ain't nobody got nobody they love like that. There are just some things in close and intimate fellowship you'll say when they're close, near, because it's for their ears only. And while God is near, there are just some things you can tell him that you don't want everybody else to hear. And so my brother, my sister, when we come to the reality of this word, we must seek God in such a way that we recognize that God desires us to desire him. God made us his choicest creation. And what more would God want than his choicest creation to make him their choice? That's why he gave us free will, didn't make us robots. He gave us a choice as to whether or not we would choose him, choose to do right, choose to love him, choose to obey him. He gave us that right. And if we choose not to, then we suffer the consequences. But he gave us the freedom of choice. And when you desire to seek God the way God wants to be sought after, you talk about an enrichment in life that nothing else can compare with. Amen. Seeking after God in this passionate way brings you to a whole nother level of revelation with God. Sometimes, listen at this, and I'm closing. Sometimes we miss God because we are seeking after things that's not like God. And listen at this. And then sometimes we miss God because he gives us what we're seeking after. Somebody catch that on their way home. I'm so glad that God loves me enough not to give me what I want when what I want ain't no good for me. And no matter how much I pursue after it. I try. I go after it. God won't let it be right because it's not right, and he loves me enough not to allow me to get caught in the enemy's trap forever. And so when I recognize this, he could have allowed me to have what I wanted and then let what I wanted destroy me and say to me, well, you got what you wanted. I know so many of you have heard this story again, but I got to tell it one more time because somebody may not have heard it. That was this man who was so in love with this woman called Mary that he just didn't know what to do with himself. And he loved Mary from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Mary could do no wrong. And he wanted to marry Mary, but Mary didn't want to marry. When Mary decided she wouldn't marry him, he lost his mind. They put him in an insane asylum. And Mary went on with her life while he was in an insane asylum. One day, there was another man thrown in the asylum, and all he was shouting was, Mary, Mary, why did you do me like that, Mary? Oh, you know I loved you, Mary. And day and night, the man kept crying out about Mary. And finally, that man recognized he was talking about Mary, and he was curious as to wonder if it was the same Mary. And lo and behold, he had a conversation with the man and found out that it was the same Mary. And he said, sir, wait, let me understand something. He said, you mean to tell me you're in here because of Mary? He said, yeah. He said, I'm in here because I married Mary. And the man said, oh my God, I'm in here because I didn't marry Mary. And all I'm trying to tell somebody is, thank God that God loves us enough not to give us what will destroy us, even though we might pursue it passionately. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, remember, this message is to God's own people. To remind God's own people that God desires close and intimate fellowship with you. There are just some things God needs you to be close to him for him to tell you and for you to tell him. There are just some things. And pardon me for just a moment. Just a moment. God will allow us to go through some things to draw us closer to him, to give us a more intimate relationship with him. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, speaking for myself, there is an intimacy and a closeness with God that I now enjoy that I've never enjoyed before. That there is a sweetness about our fellowship now. That there is an intimacy about our relationship. There are just some things God tells me now he's never told me before. There are some things I tell God now I've never told him before. There's some things God is showing me now that he's never shown me before. And there are some things I'm showing God I've never shown him before. And so sometime, my brother, my sister, God allows us to experience different things to bring us closer to him. Today, this is our last appeal, but today,